We are going to read from Psalm 88, and so I'd encourage you to have that psalm with you if you have a book, a Bible. We're in a sermon series called Noticing God, and so we're looking at different psalms, and we're wondering how does the God of different psalms, the story of God, the character of God in different psalms, connect with us today? And does the God of Psalm 88 also connect with us today? As Dave reads this psalm, you might be wondering, where is God? Where is God in the darkness of the psalm? So some of the songs we've been reading, singing this morning are a little bit different. You know, they're a little bit, maybe a little, you know, just the atmosphere of this morning. It feels a little weird because outside is so sunny. But in here, like, I noticed the lights. I don't know if that's on purpose, but the lights are down, and we have black cloth on the cross. And it's all, in some sense, trying to get us ready for Psalm 88. So, Dave, if you'd lead us in that.
Lord, you are the God who saves me. Day and night I cry out to you. My prayer comes before you. Turn your ear to my cry. I am overwhelmed with troubles, and my life draws near to death. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like one without strength. I am set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily on me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. You have taken from me my closest friends and made me repulsive to them. I am confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do their spirits rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave, your faithfulness in destruction? Are your wonders known in the place of darkness, or your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? But I cry to you for help, Lord. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth I have suffered and been close to death. I have borne your terrors and am in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long they surround me like a flood. You have completely engulfed me. You have taken from me friend and neighbor. Darkness is my closest friend. It's the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And hopefully we can really say thanks be to God, maybe not right now, but I'm hoping by the end of the message we might be able to say, well, that was a tough psalm to hear. I consider it a stunning psalm, you know, stunning words in this song or this psalm, and I fear that we are ill-equipped to hear this song this morning. We live in a culture, especially in North America. My sense of this culture is a rather fun and entertainment culture. We like to have good times. Any pain or suffering, we like to hide away. We love to live our carefree lives. And within our culture, and again, this is from my perspective, the movies I watch, the TV shows that I watch, I'm always wanting it, but almost all of them end with happy endings. I mean, we're sometimes watching a show and it's tough to watch. I'm thinking about a show that Phyllis and I sometimes watch called Call the Midwife. It always pulls on my heart, but by the end, it's usually all wrapped up. It's all okay. But not this morning. At the end of Psalm 88, everything is not okay. And so for those of us who live in North America with all of our Hollywood movies, always a happy ending, it's tough for us to hear this psalm. I think maybe, and I'm no expert on European films, but I think people in Europe, maybe they're a little bit more ready for Psalm 88. Now, I've not watched a lot of European films, but I do think about one that we watched a few years ago called Amour, a French movie about an elderly couple. The wife has a stroke. The couple's bond of love is severely tested. And this is, you know, at the end of the movie, the husband smothers his wife to death with a pillow. That's not the ending I was wanting or hoping for. It feels a little bit like Psalm 88. But I would also suggest that it's not just the culture around us or the TV shows or movies some of us watch that make us ill-equipped to listen to Psalm 88, but it's also us. For those of us who belong to this church or some church or a Christian community, the Christian culture makes it difficult to listen to Psalm 88 because I can almost hear the questions or the comments, like, where's the faith? Where's the ringing faith at the end of the psalm? How can this song be in the Bible? I mean, you don't actually say those things to other people and certainly not to God. What's going on this morning? And so I submit that many of us are not ready for Psalm 88 this morning, but ready or not, here it is in all of its starkness. And I am drawn, and you're probably drawn to different, maybe different parts of the psalm, but I'm drawn to that last line in the NIV. Darkness is my closest friend. And I want to make sure we hear the line this morning. So I want to ask a few people to come up. I have a few people who've already said yes, but I want to ask a few people to come up and say that line in different languages because I want to make sure, if possible, whatever the language of your heart is, you hear the line in your language. So I know that Eddie is coming up and Wang Yi. So if you'd come up just by the microphone here, I'd love to have someone in Portuguese if possible. If possible, darkness is my closest friend. We're just going to say that line, different languages here. If anybody can do it in French, and I, if you don't come up and you know the language, it's okay. It's okay. I'm thinking Tagalog. Is it? Can you make a translation? I'm looking for the line. Darkness is my closest friend in different languages. Anyone? In Romanian or Korean or Dutch or Portuguese. Oh, we got Portuguese already. Cantonese, any other language. I just want us to hear this line in different languages. So I have three. I just want to just go through them. Anybody else in another language? Okay. So maybe just the three of you, if that's okay. Just one after the other. Darkness is my closest friend.
A escuridão é o meu amigo mais próximo.
Thank you. Maybe that felt a little weird this morning. Anybody else? I can give a few more moments if somebody wants to come up in another language. But I want that line to stick with us this morning. I want us to sort of indwell or have that line dwell in us a little bit this morning. There are only actually two psalms in the book of Psalms that end without hope. This is certainly one of them, also Psalm 39. And this poem ends in the darkness. I mean, we would expect God to be there. It seems like he is not. We would expect someone to be there with the author, but nobody is there. Darkness is this author's best friend, closest friend, only friend. I want us to have a sense this morning, and maybe you already do, but I'm wanting us to get a sense of how dark and bleak and gloomy and miserable the atmosphere of the song is. And if you can get that, I want to ask, can you connect with that? Can you connect with darkness is my closest friend? Now, as I ask the question, I already know the answer. I know that some of us, at least some of us, on some level can. And this is not because I have special knowledge of you. It's just the common stories that we know of each other at Nelson Avenue. The stories we've heard shared on Sunday mornings or in conversations or just things we know about each other. I know, we know, that there are people who can connect with that line at some level. Now, the darkness here is not specified. We don't know exactly what the darkness is. So I want to give some ideas of maybe what it could be for the author, or certainly what it could be for us. So this morning, there are so many things that could cause the darkness to fall upon us. I'm thinking about loss and death. And loss and death can be described in many different ways, but I'm thinking especially about physical loss or death. A spouse, a parent, a child, a friend, a co-worker, a mentor, the list could go on of people we love, have loved, and we miss, and their loss and their death brings a darkness into our lives. I'm thinking about a certain kind of loss or death, the end of a relationship. When a marriage ends, and I just found out recently, there's a young couple I know from 20 years ago, they were in high school when I knew them, and I was just having email contact with her mother recently, and found out their marriage after 18 years ended. And I know marriages end, but for me, 18 years, but Phyllis and I, this summer, 18 years. And I was trying to imagine the darkness that I assume came upon them, but also upon their four children. I'm thinking about when a friendship ends or sours, when for some reason strong family ties come to an end. They should be there. There should be family around us, community around us, but then for some reason, they're not around us anymore. I think about people who deal with depression. Some of us have our ups and downs, but some people live with depression for weeks and months and years. There's just a long season of feeling low. There's no energy. I don't want to get out of bed. There's no hope or longing for today or tomorrow. There's despair about ourselves or others or situations in our lives. I think about people who lose their work. Now, I'm thankful recently that people on Nelson Avenue have received work from God in recent weeks and months, but I'm thinking about people who can't find work, don't find work, who are let go or fired, or in their present work, there is no purpose or direction. We are made to be people who love our work, engage our work, but what if it doesn't happen for us? I'm thinking about people this morning who would say, it's not just darkness on the outside. When I look at my life and the way I live or the way I talk, the way I act, the way I think, the way I hurt and harm those around me, I sense the darkness inside, that there's a heart of darkness inside of me. I think about people moving to Burnaby. What? Moving. This is the greatest place in the world, supposedly, right? What? That's not right. That can't. How could you be in the darkness when you move to Burnaby? Well, for those of us who live here, there are weekends like this and days like this, but there's also lots of days that are not like this. There's a lot. It's amazing how many days are not sunny, gloomy, and no sun, lots of rain. Some of it feels to me like the creation is constantly crying. But not just maybe the sort of seasonal darkness, but I think about people who move to Burnaby supposedly the greatest place on earth, and they maybe come with excitement, but they're also coming scared or anxious, or they're leaving what they consider to be the greatest place on earth. They are coming to a place that we would, some of us say, oh, this is so awesome, but they're coming to a place where there's new culture, new language, new people, new rhythms and customs. All the supports are gone. All the family and friends are gone, and they have to start again. And I could imagine that for some people who come, there is this kind of darkness that comes over them. And I'm overwhelmed by how much in our lives could cause darkness. Now, I want to dwell in the psalm this morning, and I want to say more about Psalm 88, but I don't want to go too long without talking about Jesus. Usually what I do, at least this is what I think I do on Sunday mornings, is I talk about the passage, and we talk about the theme, we talk about maybe the bad news, and then eventually, at the end of the message, I get to Jesus, who's supposed to be the good news. But I want to talk about Jesus now because I don't want to wait right to the end for all the good news. And part of the good news is the bad news that happened to Jesus. I mean, if you're reading Psalm 88, you should read that and realize this is describing the life of Jesus himself. That he went into a place of darkness, into a world of pain and suffering and sin. That he entered darkness of the temptation that he went through, being misunderstood, opposition. He goes in the Garden of Gethsemane, and I don't think it's a happy place for him. You know, take this cup away from me. Or the darkness of suffering and abuse that comes thundering upon him as he's being flogged. Or maybe, and I don't know, but maybe for him, humanly speaking, it was the darkness of people leaving him. Like, trying to imagine you have 12 people around you for 3 years. You're kind of teaching them, training them, helping them, feeding them, rescuing them. And here comes your moment of darkness. Where are they? They just ran away. And then certainly Jesus on the cross. And we're told in the Bible that actually real darkness descends upon the cross, upon the whole land, the Bible says, for 3 hours, from noon till 3 p.m. And in that time, Jesus, going through his own darkness, cries out, my God, why have even you forsaken me? I mean, my friends and disciples can leave me, but why have even you forsaken me? And as he says those words, it's not just Jesus saying, let me think about something in the Old Testament that I can quote. No, he's living the Psalms. The Psalms are his experience. So as he quotes from Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why am I here? Why am I forsaken? Why am I in the darkness? I want to say for Jesus, in that moment, darkness was his only friend. And the good news in all of that darkness is that his darkness was not forever, and his darkness was not simply for him. It was always for the sake of others. As Pastor Tim Keller says, Jesus was abandoned so that when we feel abandoned, we are not. So the good news, when I think about the darkness as my closest friend and Jesus in that darkness, is that God sends his Son into the darkness so that all those who look to him, long for him, any ounce of faith in him will not have to experience hopeless and forever darkness. But secondly, I think about Jesus in the darkness in Psalm 88. We should be startled, at least Psalm 88, Jesus in the darkness, but also realize God is not immune to our darkness. He knows what we go through. One Old Testament scholar said the very presence of these prayers in the Bible are a witness to God's understanding. He knows how humans speak when they are desperate. But thirdly, I'm hoping some of us are startled this morning that God would have this song in his book, that he would allow this song, ordain this song in the Bible, which should tell us he's not hiding from the pain or the darkness of life. The Bible is not what so many Christians portray, right? And the Bible is not what so many people think the Christian life is. So many Christians and the world around us think the Christian life is everything's okay, and I'm okay, and if I'm not okay, don't ask me if I'm not okay, because I don't want to tell you, I don't want to tell God. Let's just keep living our Sunday morning existence. It's all okay. And Psalm 88 is not, I'm okay. When I read Psalm 88 and other places like this, the Bible is so honest. It understands the human experience. And because I think it understands it so well, I think maybe it also knows the remedy for the human experience. I want to also add this morning that Psalm 88 is a psalm or a song or a prayer. It's worship. This is worship. So God allows and welcomes and encourages and even, I believe, ordains this song of worship, to be in the Bible to invite us to bring this kind of song to him. So darkness is my closest friend. Psalm 88, and we've used the word a number of times in the service already, is a song of lament. And the lament psalms, or the lament songs in the book of Psalms, is the biggest category of psalms that we have. So again, if you ask most Christians, or if you ask people who have some sense of what the Christian life is meant to be, and you say, we got 150 poems or songs in this book, right in the middle of the Bible, how many do you think are happy, clappy songs? I think I'll be able to say, well, probably most of the psalms are happy, clappy. Most of them are thanksgiving and praise. And we'd say, well, that's what I used to think. But they're not. Actually, over 60 of the psalms are lamenting or crying or someone in trouble. Over 60 of them are connected in some way to Psalm 88, which should, at least for some of us, we say, well, that's kind of like life. It's not mostly, it's mostly tough and difficult. As we read Psalm 88, we can talk about the darkness out there. There are things that happen, outer darkness. But there's also a sense of inner darkness. It's not just the things out there that are causing darkness, but also sometimes there's something going on in my heart, either that I'm doing, or I'm experiencing, or not experiencing. I'm wanting God. I'm wanting to experience God, but he's not close. And when outer darkness and inner darkness come together, for anyone this morning, or anyone that we know, that is totally overwhelming. But for me, the most overwhelming thing about Psalm 88, there's darkness, something's happened, the author is feeling darkness on the inside. The most overwhelming thing is God is being blamed. I don't know if you heard that as Dave was reading, but let me just give some of the places where the psalmist says, you have put me in the lowest pits. That's Psalm 40, right? That's a connection to this morning's reading and the song from U2. You, God, have put me in the lowest pit. Your wrath lies heavily upon me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. You have taken from me my closest friends. Your terrors have destroyed me. And it sounds a little bit like blasphemy. It feels a little bit like the author is going over the line. I don't think so. But certainly these are very raw, very real, almost reckless words. But they are so relational. I would assume that for a number of us, we'd say this is what sometimes happens in relationships with other people. And this is sometimes what happens in our relationship with God. God doesn't want us to stay there in Psalm 88, but there are moments in our lives where He gives us a song like this because this is the experience of our lives. Now, I want us to say a few more words and then we're going to respond. I want to be careful this morning. I'm going to suggest a few things that I think we can learn from Psalm 88, but I want to be careful that it's not just, well, here's some easy things you can do to get out of your experience of Psalm 88 if you're going through that now or in the past or in the future. So I'm going to make some suggestions, but I'm going to realize that for some people, Psalm 88 is, it could be, for some people, the experience of their lives. And they might say, I don't ever really get out of Psalm 88. I feel always in some ways that I'm in this kind of experience. So I don't want to suggest these things, like here's the five easy steps and you'll be okay. But there are some things I'd like to encourage us in. And one thing is just simply to acknowledge the darkness. If there's darkness in our lives, acknowledge it, name it, give voice to it. To not say I have to hide or pretend. Personally, I think that if more people just honestly name the darkness in their lives, simply, honestly, authentically, we would see a lot of healing. And you can call it confession. You can call it acknowledgement of what's happening. You can call it being honest or authentic. But God gives us resources to bring a song like this to Him. And that's what I also encourage us to do, not simply name it, but bring it to God. Which is maybe the most difficult thing for us. And not just God in general, but this is the one glimmer or one sliver of light we get right at the beginning. Not just God, but the God who saves me. So I'm in the darkness. Darkness is my closest friend. But I'm bringing this song to God. The God who saves me. As for me, it seems like the only moment of hope in the psalm, but we hold on to it. And as we do that, I'm assuming the author doesn't want to stay in Psalm 88. He's looking for some glimmer of light or some glimmer of hope. And I would encourage us, if we are in that situation, to also look for the lights. Maybe the light is the simple fact that the psalm is in the Bible. Maybe the light is just being allowed to bring your darkness to God. Maybe the light is, I don't know exactly how or when or what means He'll use, but I do bring this psalm of darkness to the God who saves me. I hope that for all of us, the brightest light we will see in our darkness is the light of Jesus. Jesus on the cross in darkness for us, but also Jesus even now by His Spirit in the darkness with us, understanding our darkness, giving strength and holding us up even when darkness is our closest friend.